Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth said, this is the America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly radio show. With us, as usual, is Steve Artechi, and I'm Janice, the director of AGLCA. For those people not familiar with the Great Loop, there is actually a continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America. AGLCA, as we call ourselves for short, is an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to give you information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. Please visit. There's loads of free information, and we'd also love you to become a member. We're trying something a little bit new this week, so bear with us as we get our feet sunk into this storm, literally. Our guests this week are Joe Apicella, John Calasabieta, Larry Grathis, and I think Mark Allen will be joining us shortly. Who's currently cruising? He left from New England and headed ultimately where, Joe?
Our ultimate destination is Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. John is a member of the Great Kills Yacht Club on Staten Island, New York, and he's with us today live from that site. If there's background noise, bear with us. There's a lot of recovery going on there. Larry is the owner of Hoffman Marine in Brielle, New Jersey, and Mark is the owner of South Jersey Marina in Cape May. These gentlemen will tell us about the cruising conditions in the Northeast and the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to dial in. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. John, to start off first, he's the most vulnerable with his connections as he's on a cell phone from the marina, which, John, tell us about the yacht club. Tell us about the conditions.
Okay, good morning, Janice. You know, before I do that, I just again want to express my good feelings from all of the calls and emails we got from loopers who stayed with us for the past 2 years, people that we forged great relationships with. It just speaks so well for the association, and I'm glad I've stayed with it all these years.
Thank you, John.
We here in, you know, Great Kills Yacht Club and Great Kills Harbor in total were just about wiped out. All of the docks were wiped out. The storm surge here was at least 11 to 12 feet to lift all our floating docks off the pilings. We had maybe 30 or 40 boats on blocks that got washed off their sands and off their blocks and scattered all over the place. The conditions in Great Kills Harbor are going to be a while for that to get back for others, but we're kind of proud as a volunteer yacht club here. We got at it quickly. We were able to secure a crane quickly, and we got all of our boats retrieved and back up on blocks, save for about five or six that were sunk. But in my mind, it's going to be quite some time before this harbor can recover and get back to accommodate all of the boats, although Great Kills Yacht Club will be back in business soon enough, and hopefully we'll get some loopers in next year to, in business.
Well, thank you. That's really, really so sad to hear. Joe, what kind of conditions did you see in New York Harbor and Long Island Sounds when you were there?
Well, first let me say my first choice was to go to the Great Kills place when I called them up, and that's the report that they gave me. We went to the Liberty Landing Marina, okay, and they had not answered the phone, so we had a very difficult time making a reservation. We found a guy who lived in Union, New Jersey, whose house was wiped out. He was heading down there. We followed him in, and they didn't throw us out. There was a lot of debris in the water. The boats were all pretty secure. They said they had a 13-foot tidal surge in there. Fortunately, their pilings were 14 feet high, so they didn't go over the docks. But they had no electricity. They had no running water. They had a generator to keep the lights on in the store. They had no telephone service. They were using their cell phones. And, you know, it didn't appear to be a lot of damage. We saw one boat with some hull damage. And the docks were pretty secure. And as they said, their power was underwater, and they thought it would be months before they would be back to normal.
Were you there the actual day of the storm, or was it the day after?
Oh, no, we were there. We left Cape Cod on Friday after the storm, and I think it was Sunday night that we were there.
Yeah.
The week after the storm?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure of that. Yeah. Larry, you did much better in Brielle, New Jersey, didn't you?
Hoffman's is up and running. We didn't lose any boats at all, even though we're the closest marina to the inlet. We're up and running. We have fuel. We'll be up and running tomorrow. Our tanks are at both marinas. One's above ground, one's below ground. The above ground, which is the first marina on the east side of the railroad bridge, we expect to have fuel tomorrow. We lost one dock at that marina, which was scheduled anyway to be rebuilt. Lost our dock house, but other than that, we're in pretty good shape here. The store is up and running. You know, as far as what you're going to see, you really can't go down the ICW. The National Guard's there, so kind of anything west of us, you're not going to be able to traverse. They're stopping all the boats. They're kind of worried about looters. There's a lot of debris floating in and out of the bay. We've seen some debris floating in the river, but not a tremendous amount, not like Irene last year. You know, as far as, you know, the rest of the area, it's pretty much decimated. Almost every marina is just about out of business here. I don't know why we were saved, but we seem to bear it the best. We also have a railroad bridge that separates us that we don't think fondly of, but we do now. We think that protected our new marina.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to break quickly for a commercial, Steve. Are you ready for Valve Tech?
I am.
Okay.
Think automotive and marine fuels are the same? Think again. Valve Tech marine fuels are specially formulated for marine engines. They contain additional marine-grade fuel additives that are designed to prevent problems that may be associated with automotive-grade gasoline, ethanol, and truck-grade diesel fuel when used in marine engines. ValveTech is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA. For more information, visit www.valvetech.com.
Anyone can jump in here, but I think, Larry, you said the ICW is basically closed to pleasure craft now?
The ICW is completely closed. I happen to live on the bay for a couple of reasons. There are two houses floating in Barnica Bay right now. So amongst a lot of debris. So because Manilogan and Bayhead and Ortley Beach going south into Seaside has been pretty much wiped off the map. They're not letting anybody go by boat or on land
for
their residences.
Is this
so they stopped.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that it was closed.
That's information that's really valuable to our loopers.
Yeah.
Most loopers aren't in that area right now.
Yeah.
They're down in the Mobile Bay area. But for anybody who is going to be traveling, does anybody foresee any idea of when the ICW will be opened again?
They're talking about in the spring. They're talking about not allowing anybody through. The cleanup is tremendous. I mean, you can't imagine the things that are floating in the bay. I mean, I've seen everything, but like I said, I live there. I've seen cars floating.
Mark Allen has just joined us. Is that you, Mark?
It is. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late.
It's okay. Tell us how things are doing in Cape May. I know Larry is telling us it's pretty decimated up a little bit further north and in towards the bay.
Well, they were on the difficult side of the storm. We were just south or to the 10 o'clock position of the storm when it came ashore. It came ashore just north of us. So we were very fortunate to get the strong offshore flow of wind, which, quite frankly, pushed the water away as opposed to bringing it in.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of sand piling up, but that's not entirely a bad thing. We actually ended up with a couple new beaches, and seriously, we did. So, but the north, farther up there, I mean, the main impact we're having now is a lot of people who have been displaced and don't have any place to live. They're bringing them down here, and we're putting them in hotels and trying to find food, supplies, clothing, things for them to take care of them. So that's really about the biggest the thing we've seen from the storm.
You know, Steve and I are originally from the Northeast. We lived in New York first and then moved to New Jersey, although the mountains, not the shore. But, you know, you hear about these horrible disasters, and I can't imagine New York City being brought to its feet the way it was. It's just unbelievable. John, when do you think the Yacht Club will be opened again?
Well, it's all a function of the getting docks. Actually, we've rescued some of our floating docks, and as a symbol, if nothing else, we got them back on, back on some pilings. But we're going to have to, just completely have new docks, new floating docks built. The sooner we can get started with that, the sooner we have no power yet in the building. We can't even get the guys together for a meeting, but the consensus is we're going to do it, and everything is going to be a function of how quick we get a dock builder to make up those docks and get the floating docks in. The pilings were pretty much in place. They pretty much stayed in place. So it's not the end of the world. It tears at your heart when you see your boats with gashes in the sides, and those were scattered all over this avenue here. There's a 63-foot Viking across the front of the main street that comes down here with his nose into a restaurant, that's been sitting there since the storm. We're hoping, Janice, though, by the spring and the summer, I don't know for the spring run of loopers coming north that will be functional, but after that we're committed to doing it and getting back in operation here.
In this group that is not committed to get up and running as soon as possible? Is anybody just giving up, or you're all going for it?
Say that again, Janice.
Is there anybody in this group that is going to just give up and close their marina? I mean, you're all going to rebuild, and I know Mark hasn't had much damage, but Larry, you're in good shape. You're going to be get back to you. You said your fuel will be there tomorrow.
Yeah, we have fuel.
Yeah.
We have fuel to the ground. We have about 15,000 gallons of diesel and about 12,000 of gas. We just don't have a way to get it out, but we should be up and running tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Does anybody know the implications on the actual geography of the intracoastal? I've heard there's a lot of new inlets or old inlets have been closed. Is it too early to really tell the what's going to happen?
I think it's too early.
Mm.
I don't think anybody's right. We have some surveyors at the. We have some surveyors at the marina now that that's what they're doing, is they're bidding, getting the work south to north to survey the damage on the intercoastal. I was talking to them at breakfast yesterday.
Yeah, Janice, I didn't see any new inlets as I was going down the coast. We left New York City on Monday morning, and I pretty much concur with everything they have to say. We could see the devastation along the shore. Houses that were toppled, a lot of bulldozers that were trying to push sand up the beach. We stopped in Atlantic City. Cameramen's docks were floating docks were gone. The Farley State Marina had just opened up that day. They had fuel, and they seemed to be operating pretty well, although there was some boat damage there. From Atlantic City to Cape May, the situation seemed to improve. And when we went through Cape May, everything looked pretty good there. We didn't really see any damage. From there to the C&D Canal was fine. No problems from there on south.
I spoke to Richard Nick, who is our harbor host in Cape May, and he had just gotten back from being in Florida, and he said that he was pleased with the little damage that was done to Cape May. It was basically pretty well spared.
Yeah. One of the things that was interesting, I thought, in Atlantic City, a lot of the electrical workers and a lot of the Coast Guard helicopter help was staying at the Golden Nugget. And we got to talk with them, and as Larry said, they would not let anybody in the bays or in the intracoastal for fear of having to rescue them for hitting something and looting, the looting of houses. So it was a real, they really got the worst of it there.
Is it that, is not cruising-wise, but just as far as residents go, how long will it be before the area will be back and livable again?
Well, Manilocan and Bayhead won't even have natural gas till sometime in June of next year.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't expect anybody to be in those houses this in 2013. They've made that pretty public.
That's just overwhelming. I can't imagine what it may feel like to be displaced like that.
Well, a lot of those homes were summer homes, and you know, they were inherited homes. I mean, I know a lot of my friends have those homes, and you know, a lot of them are contemplating rebuilding. You know, some of them are just saying we're not gonna. You know, it's not worth the beach anymore, and you can't really get a homeowner's policy on those houses anymore. So, I mean, those houses are $2-4 million, and, you know, they're pretty much out.
You know, Steve and I have a small condo on the beach and right outside of Charleston, South Carolina, and we always say, you know, we bought it and we live here permanently now, and we know it could be gone in a blink if there's a storm. Say it, but I wonder what we'd really feel like if it happened, to be totally displaced. And to lose absolutely everything you have, I can't imagine it.
Yeah.
Ron, you've been quiet. Do you have anything you'd like to comment on?
Well, I've been just listening. This is Ron. Our boat, I stored it for the winter in New Jersey. I did it just 2 weeks before the storm hit. We made it safely through the storm. We're way up on the off Great Bay, up the Mullica River at Viking. They did sustain damage. A couple of several boats did float away out in the parking lot and downriver. But our boat and all the boats near us are okay. I can't speak specifically to how they're doing overall. I haven't been able to talk to anybody at the marina. I had relatives there who were able to check on our boat and send me pictures that it's okay. As you know, many loopers tend to bypass the ICW through New Jersey already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering about all the various inlets. Are they all okay? Specifically, I would go in and out of Little Egg Inlet. Now, how are they doing?
I think
I don't know
the consensus so far has been that it's really too soon to tell. Does anybody have any specific knowledge about that inlet?
Or any of the
not
other
not about
inlet.
That one.
Because when the loopers travel on the outside, they need some place to pull in case the weather gets bad. You know, they don't always go from Atlantic City up to Manasquan or up to Great Kills. You know, sometimes they tuck in someplace else.
I'm hoping that things will settle down enough by our spring rendezvous in Norfolk in May that we'll be able to address the issue of what's open and what's changed and how best to get through the New Jersey area.
Well,
I hope it's bad enough that we can give an intelligent seminar on that.
Yeah, Manasquan is clear. I mean, I've been in and out with a 65-foot Hatteras twice already, and we just went out yesterday with a 70-foot Viking. And Manasquan still has its depths. It had shoaled in early in on the south jetty, but the storm took it all out. So the inlet itself is fine, you know, but as you know, like I said, as far as fuel goes or dockage, really the only place that you're really going to be able to stay is either at Hoffman's, and the yacht club has a little bit of space that the docks survive, but anything else up the river through the bridges is really non-existent.
I'm sorry, who was that speaking?
Larry.
That was Larry. Thank you, Larry. Well, if no one else has any comments, Steve,
no.
You've been quiet. Do you have any questions?
Well, one more observations of mine, but we moved down to the Charleston area 17 years ago knowing that we were in the middle of a hurricane belt. And we haven't had a hurricane here yet. And you poor folks up there got one last year and one this year. I don't know.
Donald, do you
order
Janice, can I make an observation, Mark, here?
Sure.
Okay. One observation I'll make is we reconfigured our docks here in Cape May at South Jersey Marine a couple years ago. And when we did that, we put new pilings in because we completely rearranged or reconfigured it. But the pilings we put in were extra high. So what happened during the storm, during Sandy, was even though we had flooding up to about 10 inches in our ship store and parking lot and everything else, even though we were completely flooded, the floating docks floated just higher on the pilings. And there was no problem whatsoever. I mean, it was kind of a strange looking because you saw a floating dock floating in the middle of the basin on its pilings, but there was no, that's really what saved us from having any kind of floating docks and boats breaking loose.
Well, that was good forethought. I think.
Yeah, Janice, you know, it's John, just a comment on that too. In Great Hills Harbor, the one marina that did pretty much get saved as far as not losing its docks was Staten Island Boat Sales, and their pilings are like 13 feet above the high water mark.
Exactly.
But those were new. Those were new cement docks and new pilings and stuff in there. They kind of stayed in shape.
Good.
I think we have another caller in.
Captain Sterling?
Yep.
Hello.
Hey, Captain Sterling. How are you?
I'm good. How y'all doing up there?
I think they're hanging in. They're trying their best.
Yeah. Listen, you guys talk about this storm. We had one obvious comment, I guess, but to me it's I just did this trip, bring the boat back this summer, and the shallow spots now have to be full of debris. So I would guess that to be impassable for quite a distance in the future.
Well, we would hope the Corps of Engineers is going to be doing something about it, but we can only hope.
Yeah, there's just so many structures there along that waterway that you know it's shallow enough as it is. Now it's got to be loaded with debris. That's just about wondering if anybody had heard anything about that whatsoever. But it's got to be loaded.
Dave, you may know this, or one of the other gentlemen might, but I know on the Intracoastal Waterway, it doesn't start until Virginia and go south. Is there a jurisdictional responsibility by the Coast Guard or the Corps of Engineers for the waterway going north from Norfolk?
I don't really know. I would think the Corps of Engineers is involved in that. if anything gets dredged or, opening a channel or deepening a channel, the Corps of Engineers is always involved, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
And the Coast Guard is responsible for all the markers and buoys, so.
Well, my point is they've taken such lousy care of that particular stretch to begin with.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be really bad. I mean, it's going to be, you got to take major, you have to go outside all the way from New York almost, probably.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, if no one else has anything else to comment, I think we'll just close the show, and I thank you all very, very much. Joe, John, Larry, Mark, and the callers in, I appreciate it. And unless anyone has a comment, that's it for today.
Thank you.
Hey. Well, I welcome the opportunity to talk to you, Janice, and have a good day.
Thank you very much, everyone. Until next week.
Thank you, Janice. This is Joe and Gloria. Signing off.
Bye now.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.